Today is the third day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Welcome back. It's great to be here. Good to be here. Good to see you. I guess by seeing you, it's like feeling each other's presence that we're here around the warmth of the global campfire. I'm here, you're there, and she's over here in a different country, and she's there, and he's over here on a different continent. We are in this together no matter when it is that you are listening, no matter what time of day or night this is. You're not alone. Somebody else is listening too, somewhere in the world. It's always happening. Always someone. Always the scriptures are always being spoken straight out of the global campfire. And that is incredible and humbling and shocking. It's so good to be here with you today to take a new and another step forward. And so let's go ahead. Let's do that. We're working our way through the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel really focuses on the life of David, who becomes the second king of Israel. And it's been a crazy ride with David from obscurity to the throne to really the loss of all integrity, the kind of falling apart of his family, and the aftermath of his choices and kind of going against his complete character and hiding things in the dark and the repercussions of that. And he's lost family members in that process. A couple of his sons have died. Daughter's been raped. I mean, some craziness. He's back on the throne now. His son Absalom, who tried to kill him and tried to take over the throne, has died. And we're kind of turning into the final chapters of his life. So let's continue forward. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14 through 21, verse 22. Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Beth-Maachah. All the Beerites came together and followed him. Joab's troops came and besieged Sheba and Abel of Beth-Maachah. They built a siege ramp against the outer wall of the city. While all the troops with Joab were battering the wall to make it collapse, a wise woman called out from the city, "Listen, listen! Please tell Joab to come here and let me speak with him." When he had come near her, the woman asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he replied. "Listen to the words of your servant," she said to him. He answered, "I'm listening." She said, "In the past they used to say, 'Seek counsel in Abel,' and that's how they settled disputes. I am one of the peaceful and faithful in Israel, but you're trying to destroy a city that is like a mother in Israel. Why would you devour the Lord's inheritance?" Joab protested, "Never. I would never devour or demolish. That is not the case. There is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, who has rebelled against King David. Deliver this one man, and I will withdraw from the city." The woman replied to Joab, "Watch, his head will be thrown over the wall to you." The woman went to all the people with her wise counsel, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn and they dispersed from the city, each to his own tent. Joab returned to the king in Jerusalem. Joab commanded the whole army of Israel, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Keratites and Pelatites. Adoram was over forced labor. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was court historian. Shiva was court secretary. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. And in addition, Ira, the Jairite, was David's priest. During David's reign, there was a famine for 3 successive years. So David inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered, "It is due to Saul and to his bloody family because he killed the Gibeonites." The Gibeonites were not Israelites, but rather a remnant of the Amorites. The Israelites had taken an oath concerning them, but Saul had tried to kill them in his zeal for the Israelites and Judah. So David summoned the Gibeonites and spoke to them. He asked the Gibeonites, "What should I do for you? How can I make atonement so that you will bring a blessing on the Lord's inheritance?" The Gibeonites said to him, "We are not asking for silver and gold from Saul or his family, and we cannot put anyone to death in Israel." "Whatever you say, I will do for you," he said. They replied to the king, "As for the man who annihilated us and plotted to destroy us so we would not exist within the whole territory of Israel, let 7 of his male descendants be handed over to us so we may hang them in the presence of the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the Lord's chosen." The king answered, "I will hand them over." David spared Mephibosheth, the son of Saul's son Jonathan, because of the oath of the Lord that was between David and Jonathan, Saul's son. But the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, who were the 2 sons whom Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, had born to Saul, and the 5 sons whom Merab, daughter of Saul, had born to Adriel, son of Barzillai, the Maholatite, and handed them over to the Gibeonites. They hanged them on the hill in the presence of the Lord. The 7 of them died together. They were executed in the first days of the harvest at the beginning of the barley harvest. Rizpah, Aiah's daughter, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the rain poured down from heaven on the bodies. She kept the birds of the sky from them by day and the wild animals by night. When it was reported to David what Saul's concubine, Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, had done, he went and got the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from the citizens of Jabesh Gilead. They had stolen them from the public square of Beth Shean, where the Philistines had hung the bodies the day the Philistines killed Saul at Gilboa. David had the bones brought from there. They gathered up the bones of Saul's family who had been hanged and buried the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan at Zila in the land of Benjamin in the tomb of Saul's father, Kish. They did everything the king commanded. After this, God was receptive to prayer for the land. The Philistines again waged war against Israel. David went down with his soldiers and they fought the Philistines, but David became exhausted. Then Ishbi Benob, one of the descendants of the giant, whose bronze spear weighed about 8 pounds and who wore new armor, intended to kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to his aid, struck the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, "You must never again go out with us to battle. You must not extinguish the lamp of Israel." After this, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob. At that time, Sibekai, the Hushatite, killed Saph, who was one of the descendants of the giant. Once again, there was a battle with the Philistines at Gob, and Elanon, son of Jair, Origam, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath of Gath. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. At Gath, there was still another battle. A huge man was there with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all. He too was descended from the giants. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of David's brother Shimei, killed him. These four were descended from the giant in Gath and were killed by David and his soldiers. Okay, so yesterday we concluded the Gospel of John. And man, I'm still like, every time we get to the end of John, Jesus' last words, what is that to you? You follow me? That reverberates in my consciousness for days. So anyway, we finished the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So an entire section of the New Testament. And that brings us to brand new territory. And we'll keep encountering new territory as we move forward through the New Testament. But a brand new era in the New Testament. What happens next? Because we're now moving into the book of Acts, which reveals what happens after Jesus' life and ministry on the earth. And honestly, we could call this narrative that we're about to read Second Luke. Luke and Acts share the same author. Acts picks up exactly where the Gospel of Luke leaves off. And so the first portion of Acts, we will, there's a lot of things, including the Holy Spirit that was promised, but we'll focus largely on the ministry of the Apostle Peter. And then we're going to meet somebody that we're going to spend a ton of time with, a Pharisee who hated the name of Jesus. His name was Saul. And Saul will do everything he can to, like, wipe the name of Jesus from the lips of anyone who dared to speak it. But in the midst of his zealous quest to do that, he meets Jesus. Like, the risen Christ is revealed to him. And it's so profound and confusing to him that his life is changed in a 180, like a very radical, go in a complete opposite direction sort of way. And this Pharisee, Saul, would later become known as the Apostle Paul. And so we'll spend the last part of Acts, kind of the second portion of Acts, getting to know him. And then once we do get to know him, Paul will influence a lot of the rest of our time together in the New Testament for the rest of the year. His letters that are preserved make up the bulk of the rest of the New Testament. Not all of it, but the bulk of it. And the fuel, the power of the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, that we find in the stories in the book of Acts, are as Jesus had promised. Nothing would have happened that we're about to read. None of it would have been possible without the Spirit of Truth. And reminding ourselves of that as we begin to read this territory is important, because it is the same Spirit that is available to us. The same Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth that empowers us to walk out of the shadows and into the light, should we choose. And to reveal through our very lives the radical transformative power of walking with the Spirit and living in the light. So, we're moving into new territory as we move into this new month, this sixth month of the year. And let's drink it in and let's take it deep into ourselves, because we're seeing how we got here, our heritage. But more than that, we're looking at what the power of the Holy Spirit does, did, and will do within us and among us. And so we begin. Acts chapter 1. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, the Sabbath day's journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They all were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers and sisters, the number of people who were together was about 120, and said, Brothers and sisters, it was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled that the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of David, foretold about Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was one of our number and shared in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with his unrighteous wages. He fell head first, his body burst open, and his intestines spilled out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that in their own language that field is called Hekeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his dwelling become desolate. Let no one live in it. Let someone else take his position. Therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, from among these, it is necessary that one become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. And then they prayed, You, Lord, know everyone's hearts. Show which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry that Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Psalm 121. The Lord our Protector. A Song of Ascents. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going both now and forever. Proverbs 16:18. Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Father, we thank you for your word. So here we are, stepping into some new territory in the scriptures, where the complexion changes, our focus shifts, and as we move into the book of Acts, Holy Spirit, come. That is exactly what we will read about. Come to us. You are always coming for us. You are always here. It's not as if us saying, Holy Spirit, come, means you have gone somewhere and need to return to us. We're inviting our own spirit to become aware of your presence. And so we call our own spirits to return to you. Pay attention. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. That we might collaborate in the transformation that you provide to us, shifting everything, our identity and everything, if we will remain in you, if we will be faithful, if we will be loyal, if we will honor our promise and covenant with you. So here we are, and we're inviting all of that, knowing that that's gonna change us, and it might hurt to change, but we will be free in the end. And so we invite that, Holy Spirit, as we move into this territory. And kind of the first step is right straight out of the book of Proverbs. Pride is what goes before destruction. And that has proven true, at least in my life. That has proven true across the ages. An arrogant spirit is what precedes a fall. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that in our own context, in our own lives, and invite you to speak today, now, as we live this day, and as we move into this month, and as we navigate this week. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. In your name we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base. Obviously, the www is on the web, and the app is in the App Store. And in the app, you can do a lot of things that you can't do on the web. Keep track of the journey that we are on. Get badges and stuff like that as we cross through the different sections of the Bible. Keep a journal, all kinds of things. So check that out. We're really looking forward to the brand new 2.0 version of the app, which is completely re-engineered from the ground up, from nothing, from the ground up. And that's coming later this year. So looking forward to that. But we are celebrating our 20th year. So I mentioned yesterday, one of the ways that we're celebrating is with resources, some things that we're releasing that have our 20th year logo on them that are in limited quantities, only being made once, are a part of the history of the Daily Audio Bible. And so yesterday I announced that we have new hats that have that are cool, very cool, with a leather patch on them with the 20th year logo. Those are very much in limited quantity, and truly, when they're gone, they're gone. We're not making more of them. So when they're gone, they're gone, and then they become rare and a piece of the history as we celebrate the 20th year. So this time we have colors that we haven't had. So we have a red and white one with the leather patch, very sharp. Then we have khaki and green, moss actually, khaki and moss with a leather patch on it with the 20th year edition logo. You can find those at the Daily Audio Bible shop, whether on the web or in the app. Check them out. Grab one while they are available and celebrate with us as we are celebrating 20 years. Hard to believe. Very hard to get my mind around every single day for these 20 years. But we're celebrating that, commemorating that. It's worth it. It's remarkable that we've been a community moving together like this. So check out the new ball caps, the new trucker caps with the 20th anniversary logo on them. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you. If being here, if being around the global campfire is a good thing, is a meaningful thing, is a positive thing, is a thing that moves your heart and your life because of the scriptures in a direction that gives you clarity on the ways that you should go, then thank you humbly and gratefully for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible community. This is Nicole, living Christ's redemption story in Florida. Calling in, I have been meaning to make this call for about a week now, and our schedules have gotten a little crazy with the end of school, but I wanted to call in, and I believe it was our prayer warrior sisters, Prisoner of Hope, and From Junk to Treasure, who had called in to encourage my daughters after they had called in. And I played those messages for them, and it was just so sweet to see them light up with the encouragement of others about their faith. And it was just a reminder for me of how powerful it is to have other believers, not just necessarily ourselves all the time speaking into their faith, but to just have kind of that river of influence around them, and have other strong believers just encouraging them in their faith, and just how that just helps to grow their own faith. And just witnessing that in them was very sweet. So I thank you, sweet sisters, for those words. And I pray, Lord, that for all the children of the Dab community out there, that you would just place someone in their lives today or sometime this week that will just speak a word of encouragement. And Lord, for us, I pray that we look out for those children in our lives around us, maybe in our church community or in our neighborhoods, where we can be that person that speaks a word of encouragement into their faith journey. And Lord, those are seeds that we plant, and Lord, that you just bring about just beautiful fruit from that. So we thank you for the gift of community, and we say all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Peaceful in Pennsylvania, and I want to pray for Cliff in California. Cliff, I know that somebody has brought things up and challenged your integrity, and that is really awful, and it impacts your job. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, that Cliff's ways please the Lord. And I think of the verse, when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. So, Father, he is a man of integrity. He's following after you. Lord, and I ask that you would give him the victory in this situation. Lord, I rebuke the accuser in the name of Jesus, and the lying people that have brought this up against him. Lord, give Cliff strength and help him to trust you without fear. Lord, you'll make a way even if it seems like there's no way. But Lord, I thank you, you will preserve his job for his family and for himself. Thank you, Lord, for Cliff. God, thank you that he's willing to bring this request out in the open. Lord, I thank you that you comfort him, bless him, and fight the battle for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, y'all. Bye-bye.
Oh, Jorge, thank you. Thank you, thank you for calling in and letting us hear your voice, and knowing that things were better. I remember hearing your original call and just the total heart cry that you had. And Brian talks of a heart cry very frequently, but I don't know that I'd ever truly, truly heard one until I heard your call and your voice. And thank you so much for calling back, as I know you've been on many of our minds and are certainly our prayers. And the difference in your voice was beautiful. We know that we have a God who is of so many things, but redemption, restoration, repentance, all these things that work together in our lives in individual ways. So Jorge, thank you so much for calling in. It encouraged me so, so much. And I know there are many more in the Dab family that are continuing to pray for you, as I am. Our brother, our fellow listener, our fellow follower of Christ, God, I pray that you will keep your hand of protection over Jorge as he navigates his new life and his new job. And though we know that there will be obstacles, because that's the life we live, but we love you and thank you.
Hi, this is Steve, and I would like to request prayer from my brother-in-law, John, and his wife, Diane. John has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and chemo has not worked at all at this point, and so he's facing a very dire diagnosis right now. And my wife and I would pray and request your prayers for healing, for physical healing of his body, that he would find effective treatment, and that the Lord would completely and fully heal his body, but also for the healing of his soul. And Diane, they are far from you at this point in their lives. Diane is an atheist. John is a functional atheist. And they both need Jesus deeply in their lives. And so I just want to pray for DAB family, your prayers for John and for Diane. They have three teenage children that have got to be terrified right now as well. And there's extended family as well that are all grieving deeply over this. So we need a miracle. We need a miracle. Thank you.